This, as they say, is the BBC, who are tickled to bits to bring to thee Marriott's monologues, funny and clean, the best monologue writer that there's ever been. So listen and laugh, join in and take part in Marriott Edgar's Works of Art.
We present Marriott's Monologues, the monologues of Marriott Edgar. Accompanied on the piano by Brian Fitzgerald, here is this week's monologist, Bernie Clifton, with The Battle of Hastings.
I'll tell of the Battle of Hastings, as happened in days long gone by, when Duke William became King of England. An arrow got shot in the eye. It were this way. One day in October, the Duke, who were always a toff, having no battles on at the moment, had given his lads a day off. They'd all taken boats to go fishing, when some chap in Conqueror's ear said, "Let's go and put Breeze up the Saxons," said Bill. "By gum, that's an idea." Then turning around to his soldiers, he lifted his big Norman voice, shouting, "Hands up, who's coming to England?" That was swank, cause they hadn't no choice. They started away about tea time. The sea was so calm and so still. And at 9:45 the next morning, they arrived at a place called Bexhill. King Harold came up as they landed, his face full of venom and hate. He said, "If you've come for regatta, you've got here just 6 weeks too late." At this, William rose, cool but haughty, and said, "Give us none of your cheek. You'd best have your throne reupholstered. I'll be wanting to use it next week." When Harold heard this here defiance, with rage he turned purple and blue, and shouted some rude words in Saxon, to which William answered, "And you?" 'Twere a beautiful day for a battle. The Normans set off with a will. And when both sides was duly assembled, they tossed for the top of the hill. King Harold, he won the advantage. On the hilltop he took up his stand, with his knaves and his cads all around him, on his horse with his hawk in his hand. The Normans had nought in their favour. The chance of a victory seemed small. But the slope of the field were against them, and the wind in their faces and all. The kick-off was sharp at 2:30, and soon as the whistle had went, both sides started banging each other, till the swineherds could hear them in Kent. The Saxons had best line of forwards, well armed both with buckler and sword, but the Normans had best combination. And when half-time came, neither had scored. So the Duke called his cohorts together and said, "Let's pretend that we're beat. Once we get Saxons down on the level, we'll cut off their means of retreat." So they ran, and the Saxons ran after, just exactly as William had planned, leaving Harold alone on the hilltop, on his horse with his hawk in his hand. When the conqueror saw what had happened, a bow and an arrow he drew. He went right up to Harold and shot him. It were rough side, but what could they do? The Normans turned round in a fury and gave back both parry and thrust, till the fight were all over by shouting, and you couldn't seat Saxons for dust. And after the battle were over, They found Arrol so stately and grand, sitting there with an eye full of arrow, on his horse, with his oar in his hand.
It's marvellous stuff, isn't it, these Marriott Edgar monologues? And it takes me back, you know, because I was actually born in St Helens in Lancashire. It's where the M6 is cobbled. 59 Charles Street. Well, actually, I wasn't born there. I was brought up there. I was actually born into a show business family because my mother and father had a Romany act. My father used to put an earring in and play the guitar, and my mother went round the audience selling pegs. Anyway, down the road from us in Charles Street was the Theatre Royal. And in pantomime time, when the theatrical landladies were full, we used to take the overflow. And I'll always remember one pantomime. We had a bloke called Gideon Selver, and he slept in our parlour. He was a big man, and he was very dramatic. Come to think of it, I don't think there was a bed in there. All we had was a sofa, a three-piece suite, and a piano. We were all little kids. I would be about 5 or 6, and he lived in the front room. We lived in the parlour. I mean, to us, a working-class family in St Helens. My dad worked at the glassworks. My mum helped out at the British restaurant. When these actors walked through our front door, I mean, we couldn't believe it. They were thespians. They were like beings from another planet. And on the Wednesday, we went to see the pantomime. We had complimentary tickets and we sat down there in the front stalls, all on the edge of our seat, waiting to see our lodger in the pantomime. And when he came out, he was playing the Demon King. And he was green from head to foot. We were terrified. I mean, for the rest of his stay, we were terrified of him. We don't go anywhere near the parlour. We had to go round the back entry. We wanted to get to the front door. This green monster we had in the front room. And I always thought, much, much later in life, how he washed the paint off. Because I don't think he had the run of our house. We never saw him. He was only in the parlour. And I can't imagine that the Theatre Royal would have any hot water. And come to think of it, after he'd gone, we had a green three-piece suite. But it was this Gideon Selver who first introduced me to the Marriott Edgar monologues, as he recited in our kitchen in Charles Street in St Helens, the one I've just done, The Battle of Hastings. And I never thought, when I was 5 or 6 years of age, that many years later I'd be asked to do the same. And I feel very privileged, because there's something, the timeless. I mean, they are works of art, and Marriott Edgar had got this marvellous knack of picking out characters, people that you felt that you knew, that you'd actually met, and place names with so much comedy in them. And the next one takes place in a town in Lancashire called Bury. And it's called Three Aprons a Foot. Gideon Selver, where are you? I'll tell you an old-fashioned story that grandfather used to relate, of a joiner and building contractor. His name, it was Sam Oglethwaite. In a shop on the banks of the Irwell, old Sam used to follow his trade in a place you'll have heard of called Bury. You know, where black puddings is made. One day, Sam were filling a knot hole with putty when in through the door came an old fella, fair reed in whiskers. T'ow chap said, "Good morning, I'm Noah." Sam asked Noah what was his business, and Tow Chap went on to remark that, not liking the look of the weather, he was thinking of building an ark. He'd gotten the wood for the bulwarks and all t'other shipbuilding junk, and wanted some nice bird's eye maple to panel the side of his bunk. Now, maple were Sam's monopoly. That means it were all his to cut. And nobody else hadn't got none.
so he asked Noah 3 halfpence a foot. "Ain't too much," replied Noah. "Penny a foot's more the mark. A penny a foot, and when rain comes, I'll give you a ride in me ark." But neither would budge in the bargain. The old daft thing were kind of a jam. So Sam put his tongue out at Noah, and Noah made long bacon at Sam. In wrath and ill feeling they parted, not knowing when they'd meet again. And Sam had forgot all about it, till one day it started to rain. It rained and it rained for a fortnight, and flooded the old countryside. It rained and it kept on raining, till the Irwell were 50 mile wide. The houses were soon underwater, and folk to the roof had to climb. They said 'twas the rottenest summer that Berry had had for some time. The rain showed no sign of abating, and water rose hour by hour, till the only dry land were a blackpool, and that were on top of the tower. So Sam started swimming to Blackpool. It took him best part of a week. His clothes were wet through when he got there, and his boots were beginning to leak. He stood to his watch chain in water, on tower top, just before dark, when who should come sailing toward him but old Noah, steering his ark. They stared at each other in silence, till ark were alongside, all but. Then Noah said, "What price your maple?" Sam answered, 3 halfpence a foot." Noah said, "Nay, I'll make thee an offer, same as I did t'other day. A penny a foot and a free ride. Now come on, lad, what does the say?" 3 halfpence a foot," came the answer. So Noah his sail had to hoist, and sailed off again in a dudgeon, while Sam stood determined but moist. Noah cruised round, flying his pigeons, till 40th day of the wet. And on his way back, passing Blackpool, he saw old Sam standing there yet. His chin just stuck out of the water, a comical figure he cut. Noah said, "Now what's the price of your maple?" Sam answered, 3 halfpence a foot." Said Noah, "You'd best take my offer. It's last time I'll be hereabout. And if water comes half an inch higher, I'll happen get maple for nowt." 3 halfpence a foot it'll cost you. And as for me," Sam said, "don't fret. The sky's took a turn since this morning. I think it'll brighten up yet."
Bernie Clifton brought you The Battle of Hastings and 3 halfpence a foot by Marriott Edgar. Piano accompaniment was by Brian Fitzgerald. Marriott's Monologues is produced in Manchester by Mike Craig.